Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over or under game. Just set the sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to check our relaunched merch or where you can get all your favourite SGPN gear. Just go to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Welcome everybody to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford. I'm coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne, up on the north coast of England. The date is Sunday the 3rd of July, and we are here to handicap the slate of games. 14 games, MLB on Monday, July the 4th. And join me, it's an OG special. Get your rocking chairs out and remember when this was all Fields and all of this malarkey. Mr. Moonaf Manji from Houston, Texas. Good evening, Moonaf. How are you?
Hey, Malcolm. How's it going? 4th of July weekend here in the States.
I forget that's a thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll say happy 4th of July to everyone. That's what I should say.
It's 4th of July weekend. It's 4th of July actually tomorrow, but you know, we make it a whole weekend and everything, so a lot of people with family and barbecuing and all that fun stuff. Vacation time also for a lot of families, but we're still here out grinding out MLB, my man.
Yeah, it's nothing here. It's Monday. That's what it is, the 4th of July. It's nothing more than a run-of-the-mill Monday. I suppose we had all the Queen's ridiculous shenanigans a few weeks ago, so we had our holiday weekend. Right, okay, Moonaf. So we did a little turbo lock dog and total show. We recorded it on Friday for last night's games.
Yep.
And I think Moonaf as a team, we went 4-2 as a team. Are you happy with that?
4-2 as a team, absolutely. What's that, 66.7% ish? So, hey, we'll take that any day of the week, right?
Okay, right. Should we reveal the actual truth? You went 3-0, Moonaf, and I went 1-2. You didn't know yourself there. I think you knew probably. I wasn't going to let myself take some of the glory. Part of the reason I bring it up though is A, good work on your behalf, and B, I can't buy any luck at the moment. But I think that the pivotal thing in here was the Oakland and Kansas game. But take us through your three picks first. What did you hit on?
Yeah, I locked up the Houston Astros money line. This line significantly moved because when we recorded it, that line opened up at minus 130, and I think it closed around minus 158, minus 160 in some spots. So there's a huge 30-cent move towards the Astros' way. They've just been dominating the Angels all weekend long. I think the Angels are up right now, but the pitching for the Astros has been absolutely fantastic for them, and it was another gem of a performance by another Astros pitcher there. We can discuss the dog together because we have the same one. My total was the Diamondbacks and the Colorado Rockies first five. I gave that at 6.5, but it opened 7. But nonetheless, they crushed that total. I think they scored like, I want to say 9 or 10 runs within the first five innings. It was Dallas Keuchel on the mound versus... Was it Austin Gomber that was pitching for the Colorado Rockies last night? So it was a pretty easy over. The full game went over as well. So that one came into fruition. Then you and I both had the Oakland A's as our dog, but I took them in the first five innings with Paul Blackburn on the mound. And Malcolm, Paul Blackburn is a guy that we've talked about all season long here on the MLB Gambling Podcast. And it was again, the same movie that's happened the past couple starts, where the first five innings, he's looked great. The A's have gotten him a run or two, and he's gotten over the line in the first five innings. But that bullpen always wants to come in and mess up his starts. I mean, I wonder what his record would be, Malcolm, if the bullpen didn't come in and just mess up the entire game for Paul Blackburn.
I mean, it was 1-0 in the eighth, and I was working last night, and I checked the scores a couple of times. And I got in the van just in time to listen to the last sort of 20 minutes as I drove home from work. Mm-hmm. So just as I'd started listening is where the wheels started coming off. But yeah, I've been... baseball is a long season, but I've been struggling because I'm running like 46%. So it's not like I'm down at 20, 25%. I'm not stinking the place out. And my money meter is around about $9.76 for a $10 bet. So I'm not miles behind. Mm-hmm. I'm not picking loads of chalk and losing, but I just can't. It's the graphic moving off. Since we introduced the bleeding graphic on the Twitter, I just can't get the right... I can't get the right pictures on the graphic. I got the total. My total was the Dodgers and the Padres. And that game started and the Dodgers just walked up one by one and hit Yu Darvish over the fence for the first 10 minutes of that game. It was relatively close by the end. They only just got over in the end, I think.
That happened in the Cardinals game, too. I don't know if you'd have caught that. I think it was Kyle Gibson.
Yeah, four on the spin.
And he had two outs too, so it all just came up and hit four home runs in a row, which is crazy.
I need to get some winners on the board. Yeah, and that game last night, the Oakland game, just summed it up really. Saturday night, my luck was the Friday night was the Texas Rangers at the Mets plus 160, mm-hmm. and both teams have six hits over the course of the game. And the Mets hit a front bomb and win 4-3. So, I feel like the process is fair. Glenn Otto pitched a great game that night for the Rangers. I feel like the process is good, but I just got to look. But that's what the baseball season does to you. I've just been watching the Yankees and the Guardians tonight, which is worth mentioning. Just the effort that Tristan McKenzie's put up for Cleveland. Yeah, he's been absolutely outstanding. Is it still 1-0? He pitched seven innings. Of one run ball. Yeah, bottom of the eighth. Mm-hmm. Cleveland win. Cleveland lead 1-0 on a Franmil Reyes home run. Seven innings of shutout ball from Tristan McKenzie. And I think we've talked about him a few times recently. He's been going as well. A little bit like Paul Blackburn. So, it's been a good fun weekend, which the games are going on as we speak. But yeah, let's this Monday slate underway. And I'm going to pick some winners, Moonaf. There's only one way to get over this, and that's to get back on the horse. So we will start with an 11:05 a.m. I think this is tradition, isn't it, Moonaf? Do the Washington Nationals always go off really early on July the 4th? Yeah, you're nodding your head. Yeah. I think I remember this from the last few years watching. 11:05 Eastern first pitch. It's the Miami Marlins at the Washington Nationals, and it's Braxton Garrett against Patrick Corbin. Not the most inspiring of matchups. Two left-handed pitchers going for this one. I was struggling. I handicapped these sort of Sunday lunchtime for me. And Sunday's notoriously bad to pick up lines. I think people are sort of getting towards the end of the week before they start making Monday lines. There's some lines turned up in the last half an hour or so. So I made live picks without having seen the lines. But we won't be far away. Miami in this one are -115. And the Nationals are -105. With a total set at 9.5. Braxton Garrett for Miami is 1-3. Has a 5.24 ERA. He's pitched 22 and a third with 22 Ks and a 1.70 whip. Where Patrick Corbin is 4-10 with a 6.06 ERA. Has pitched 81 and two-thirds with 75 strikeouts and a 170 whip. Garrett, he's all right, isn't he? I mean, probably one of the most underwhelming names. He's had two decent starts from five. He came in the rotation, he's had five starts now. You get about four innings from him. Like I say, 22 in the third, he's pitched over those five. So you get 4.5 innings out of him. Two decent starts. He's given up a lot of contact in every one of those starts. So there are runs to be had off him. Patrick Corbin's thrown in the odd decent start in June. He has managed to get to four wins now. Set his record's 4-10. Three of those wins have come this month. Or last month now, sorry. So he hasn't been as he was unbackable. I think he went something like 0-7, 0-8. We were sort of laughing at him a little bit earlier on in the season. But he's made himself a little bit more competitive. Weaker opposition he's faced. He's given up multi-home runs in three of his last four games as well. This was a really hard one. Miami have won three in a row. I feel like Washington have been down. I had that Josiah Gray game that I locked up when me and Dylan were on the opposite sides of it. I think that was Friday night, and they've let me down there. So I'm going to take Miami here. They just seem to be in a little bit better form, even though they're missing Jazz Chisholm. Washington haven't been doing anything for me. And I think Garrett might be slightly more reliable than Corbin. So I was going to take Miami. The money line here seemed reasonable at -115, Moonaf.
Yeah, I mean, both these pitchers have kind of, I mean, not kind of, but they have not been great. It's been the story right now. You mentioned Patrick Corbin has been getting better here for the Washington Nationals after the first couple months. Yeah, he was a combined 1-8 in, I believe, April. When was he? When he came back, I had it right in front of me here. Give me a second. 0-4 in April, 1-4 in May, and then 3-2, like you mentioned, in June. So gradually getting better for the Washington Nationals. And then, you know, when it comes to two left-handed pitchers, I like looking at, you know, how they've been doing on WRC+. And if you kind of look at it right now, the Miami Marlins are number 16 in weighted in runs created plus over the last 2 weeks. And the Washington Nationals are number 29 versus left-handed pitching over the last 2 weeks as well. So as much as I do want to take the over in this game between these two pitchers, I'm leaning towards taking Patrick Corbin and the Nationals here. Just because, like we talked about, how Patrick Corbin has been in better form here for the Washington Nationals. So I am going to go with the Washington Nationals in this game, Malcolm.
So, incidentally, I think if you could have let me handicap all these games first, Moonath, and I've been in such bad, I'm just going to take the other side. Is that what's going to happen here all the way through?
Possibly. We'll find out. We have, 13 games to get through, so we'll probably have to count up how many games are on the opposite side.
It's 100%. It might be the best strategy I've ever heard, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't hold that against you even a little bit. 1:05 Eastern first pitch is the Texas Rangers at the Baltimore Orioles. This is Dane Dunning going for Texas and Dean Kremer.
Yep.
Going for the Orioles. It's a pick'em. Both sides here at -110. Now, this changed things for me a little bit because I didn't see the sign earlier on. I did handicap it and make a pick, but I might call an audible on this. We'll get to that in a little while. Both sides -110. Totally, I set it 8.5, but you can take it away, Moonaf, with Texas at Baltimore.
Yeah, Dane Dunning on the mound for the Texas Rangers, 1-6 with a 4.09 ERA, and over the last three games, he is 0-3 with a 4.05 ERA for the Texas Rangers. The thing that really sticks out about Dane Dunning when you're kind of digging into his numbers, Malcolm, is that he's winless on the road so far this year. Rangers have lost Dunning's last 8 appearances in a row. Has not been great on the road, like I mentioned. His ERA here on the road is a 5.58. And if we kind of want to compare that to his home ERA, 2.83. So really not getting it done at home for the Texas Rangers. I'm sorry, on the road for the Texas Rangers. Now you're going up against a Baltimore team, and like you mentioned, Dean Kremer has been really good so far for the Baltimore Orioles. He's 2-1 on the season with a 1.29 ERA. Over the last five games, he's been, again, it's the same numbers because he just recently started pitching in the starting rotation for the Baltimore Orioles. So I like what I've seen from him. Actually, you know, got to watch a game of him pitching, and he looks good to me. The walks are a little bit of a concern, Malcolm, but I think I'm going to stick with the Orioles here. And again, we've talked about the run line a lot on the show here, and the Baltimore Orioles at home against the run line this season are number one in the entire league at 25-10, which is around 71.4% conversion rate or covering percentage. So I like Dean Kramer. I'm going to continue fading Dane Dunning on the road here, Malcolm. So give me the Baltimore Orioles money line against the Texas Rangers and Dane Dunning.
That is a great little stat move enough about Baltimore on the run line at home. No, yeah, I'm going to stick with my original handicap here. What caught my eye here was the price of Texas, because I like Dane Dunning. But yeah, it's that home road thing that is the concern. I think I picked Dunning and he did me a favour. One or two starts ago, winning at a nice price. So I was suddenly drawn to Texas, singing them as a pick. But actually, Baltimore have been okay. Kramer's been good.
Yeah.
Baltimore have been walked off twice in the last two nights by the Twins. But I think they're actually going to do them over tonight. The Orioles were 3-0 up late on. So more than competitive Baltimore this weekend against the decent Minnesota Twins side. Unlucky to get walked off twice and then look like they might. 3-1 up in the top of the eighth tonight. We talked last week that the Orioles had remarkably improved their playoff chances, however society so far this season. I like both pitchers here. I do like Dunning. I know he's not been great on the road. I was looking at the total, and the total at 8.5, the bullpen's concerned me a little bit. So I think the first 500, this could be a bit of a slow burner here. So I will take the first 500 here in this Texas-Baltimore game. Right, next up, we've got a doubleheader. We've got a 1:10 Eastern and a 6:40 Eastern first pitch between the twin bill is the Guardians at the Tigers. Not many. I can give you some pictures and a couple of lines for this, but this was hard to handicap because these lines have literally just gone up. I don't know if Munaf has much on this one. The first game, Zach Plesac slated to go for the Guardians, and I've only just seen literally moments ago that Braxton Hill, and now you know as much about him as me, is going for the Detroit Tigers. The second game is the Cleveland TBD pitcher. And it says Alex Fajardo again. Now, Alex Fajardo, I think, is the pitcher that we've quoted as pitching for the Detroit Tigers on about six of the last seven nights. So that first game, Plesac against Braxton Hill. I've got lines of Cleveland -135 and the Tigers +115. Total at 8.5. Good instinct there is that that -135 on Cleveland looks huge against, albeit, a pitcher I know absolutely nothing about. But yeah, Cleveland priced up favourites there. And no prices on this second game. So yeah, I'll skirt past that one. There's enough people that we do know things about to talk about without guessing at this one. Munaf, do you have anything to add on this doubleheader tomorrow?
No, I mean, Plesac has really turned around over his last five games here. He's 1-1 with a 2.10 ERA so far, over the last five games. 30 innings pitch, only allowed seven earned runs in that span. So I know this was a guy that we were fading early on, but I mean, not a lot of information with like you mentioned, Garrett Hill, who's on the mound for the Detroit Tigers. I know he's coming out of their minor league system. Who?
Braxton Hill. It's Braxton Hill, is it?
It's Garrett Hill, is what I'm saying. Yeah. We had a Braxton Garrett from Miami.
In Braxton or Garrett of the night. We don't say Garrett. Are we going to Garrett Hill? Yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, so I mean, not much for me. I mean, without much information about Garrett Hill, I could just probably just give you the minor league numbers, but that's really not going to do any good. So he's making his major league debut for the Detroit Tigers, so good luck to him against the Cleveland Guardians.
Okay, so we'll move on to stuff that we can tell you more about. 130, well, I see if we can tell you more about. This is a I think this is the last question mark pitcher of the evening, certainly is for me. 135 Eastern, the Tampa Bay Rays and the Boston Red Sox, where we do have TBD pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays and Michael Wacker going for the Boston Red Sox. I'm guessing it's all lines up. That is correct. This is over to you, Munaf. Did you have anything for the Tampa Bay Rays? And if you did, give us a little insight.
Yeah, I'm saying Luis Patino is going to be on the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays possibly here. This is going to be his first appearance since April 11th, so not much information for him. But Michael Wacha so far this year has been stellar for the Red Sox pitching. He's 6-1 on the season with a 2.69 ERA. At home so far this year for Michael Wacha, 3-1 with a 1.39 ERA, 32 1/3 inning pitched at home. He's only allowed 5 earned runs in that span, so he's very comfortable at Fenway Park for the Boston Red Sox. Wacha in his career against the Tampa Bay Rays, the numbers are not that great. He is 1-3 with a 6.98 ERA. He did face them back on April 22nd, where he went 5 innings, allowed 2 earned runs, 3 hits given up in that game. 2 of the 3 were actually home runs that he gave up to the Tampa Bay Rays, but the Red Sox did go on to win that game 4-3. But the one thing that does concern me about the Red Sox is that they are 8-16 in division games so far this season, and you know they haven't had a great series this weekend against the Chicago Cubs. Maybe they just need to get back home here. The Tampa Bay Rays bats have finally come alive against the Toronto Blue Jays pitching this weekend. They've been putting up double-digit runs and at least 5 or more runs so far in the series against the Toronto Blue Jays, so maybe they've turned around here a little bit. I'm going to lean here with the Tampa Bay Rays. I know we talked about, and I think we're all kind of waiting for Michael Wacha to kind of regress and come back down to earth. Maybe it is this game against the Tampa Bay Rays where he has struggled, but until I see his pitching for the Red Sox turn around and the bats pick it up again, I'm going to stick with the team that's kind of figured it out on the offensive side. So give me the Tampa Bay Rays.
Both these sides have been involved in weird series this weekend. I've watched quite a lot of the Boston Cubs series. Has just been ugly. Neither teams look like they wanted to win, but Boston have done a better job of it. And then all of a sudden, the Tampa Bay Rays, having us repeatedly said how anemic their lineup's been, they've just taken one of the better teams to task for it sort of night after night. They're doing it again tonight. They've hit run after run. I'm not convinced by that Tampa Bay, this little outburst at all. But yeah, I've got nothing on this game tomorrow. I do think the Red Sox need to get home, though, and fix something, because it's a disjointed performance recently from the Boston Red Sox after the little mini revival that they had. So yeah, we'll see how that pans out back at Fenway Park. 4:10 Eastern, first pitch is the Kansas City Royals at the Houston Astros. Jonathan Heasley goes for the Kansas City Royals, and Justin Verlander is the pitcher for the Houston Astros. I'm not seeing any lines on this one yet. I think that's because Verlander is not confirmed by the Houston Astros, but it's my belief that he'll go. You can correct me, Moonaf, if you think that's wrong. But Heasley is 1-4, 5.20 ERA, has pitched 45 innings with 35 strikeouts. Verlander is 10-3 with a 2.03 ERA, has pitched 97 1/3 with 90 strikeouts. Heasley is officially struggling now. He came up and looked like you might have a little bit in him. But yeah, it's gone south a little bit for Heasley. He pitched against Houston on the 5th of June. He did okay. Pitched 6 innings, gave up 3 runs, was serviceable. He gave up 7 earned runs last time against Texas, which was a bit of a shambles. Verlander's ERA in his last 5 games is 1.65, which is even more remarkable if you bear in mind that he had a 4 earned run start against the Cubs thrown in there. This would look like a really straightforward Houston run line. There was nothing else to get away. Houston are back at home. They're 23-11 at home. They're 8-2 in the last 10. Kansas City struggling on the road, 14-23 on the road. So whichever way you looked at this, you came up Houston run line. I would say for Kansas City, I would watch out for Edward Olivares, a player who's been up and down from the minors for about 18 months now. Up and down like a bride's nightly. But hopefully he's back and he's sort of batting clean-up. So Sunday night, you might get some Monday night waivers or pick-ups. He'll steal a base and he might just get you a decent run in the second half. So have a look for Edward Olivares for Kansas City. But apart from that, tomorrow this should be all Houston. A little bit boring, but we'll take the win here, Moonaf.
Yeah, I'm seeing conflicting reports on who's starting. I'm seeing Jake Odorizzi, and then I'm also seeing Justin Verlander for the Astros. But I think nonetheless, I think there's going to be a point in their schedule, Malcolm, for the Houston Astros, especially that they are going to be facing some lesser competition. So I think the way to probably look at it is start taking their run lines, you know, maybe, I mean, I don't want to say blindly, but this Astros team has been really good. The pitching has been so good so far for the Astros over the last, I want to go back and say at least the last month, that the starting rotation has been absolutely lights out. And they finally got Jeremy Pena back today. Yordan Alvarez is back as well. So if you kind of take a look, and I'm kind of getting ahead here, Malcolm, but they have four against the Kansas City Royals. They have three in Oakland. And then they go to LA for three against the Angels. And they have three at home against the Oakland A's. So we could probably see a huge winning streak here, and they could probably create some more separation in that division. So, yeah, I'm with you. Give me the Astros run line here, regardless of who I think is pitching in this game.
Yeah, that did look like there's one on every card that stands out that just screams run line at you, and that was the one. Any of these picks that you fancy, particularly Moon Afs, would be my recommendation. The place to do it, WinBet, the title sponsor here on the MLB Gambling Podcast, where you can use the bet $50 to win $200 promotion, where that $50 bet will qualify you for up to $200 in free bets if you bet $500 or more on Sports or Casino before July 31st. You'll be entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, which includes a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Get in. Multiple entries are allowed. Loads to choose from. All you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. T's and C's at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older in the state where playthrough WynnBET's available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Next, 4:10 Eastern, first pitch. I like this one, Moonaf. Chicago Cubs at the Milwaukee Brewers. Pitcher is Justin Steele. It's another double left-handed pitcher combo here. Justin Steele for the Chicago Cubs. And Eric Lauer is going for the Brewers, who are a -150 favourite. Chicago are +130 underdogs on the road. Totally error set at 9. And Moonaf, you can take it away with the Cubs at the Brewers.
Yeah, Justin Steele on the mound for the Chicago Cubs, left-handed pitcher. 3-5 so far this year with a 4.39 ERA. He's been pretty good over his last five starts, though. He's 2-0 with 3.03 ERA in those last five starts. I'll say this much about him. He's struggled on the road. Let's put it that way. He's 0-2 so far this season on the road with a 7.29 ERA. 21 innings pitched on the road, where he's given up 17 earned runs in that span to the opposition. Three starts against the Brewers already so far this season, if I'm not mistaken. Let me double check that for you, because I'm pretty sure that's what I saw when I was looking at this game. Yeah, three starts already this season. He's 1-1 with a 3.46 ERA in those three starts against the Chicago Cubs. And I kind of understand, Malcolm, why this total is where it's at. And let me talk about Eric Lauer here real quick. 6-3 with a 4.02 ERA. Last five games hasn't been very pretty for him. 1-2 with a 6.83 ERA over his last five games for the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers, they've kind of found their offense a little bit here over the past two series. I know they went up against the Rays. They hit some home runs there, scored some runs. They also did that this weekend against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So they're kind of continuing, hopefully they can continue that momentum back at home against the Chicago Cubs in this series. I do understand why this number is at 9, and I do lean towards the over in this game. I feel like that both of these pitchers can be gotten to by the opposition. I kind of want to see where we're at with WRC Plus, with left-handed pitching over the last 2 weeks. Milwaukee Brewers are number 4 in the entire league as far as WRC Plus against left-handed pitching. So Maybe you want to look at a team total for the Brewers against Justin Steele, or possibly look at a full game over 9 in this game, Malcolm.
Okay. I love Justin Steele in this spot, Rudolph. You'd be pleased to hear. I'm negating the home road splits for him. He's been okay. In fact, he's been better in the road. He's been in better form He's been in much better form than Eric Lauer, as it happens. He has been dodgy on the road. I have got that written down. But I've liked him. I don't think it's a home road thing. I just think he was in poor form and he's come back into good form. I really think the home road thing is largely coincidental, if anything. I've been watching Steele quite closely the last couple of starts and he's been going okay. Lauer, his last four starts, he's given up 3, 5, 4, and 8 earned runs in those four starts. So yeah, over it would be another way of going. But the Cubs have been streaking a little bit. They have won, did they win 3, maybe 4 in a row? I think they're going down tonight with the, which sucks. So it's only 2-1, mid-6. So they've been hanging tough. You could talk me into the Cubs here. And I'm going to take a decent price, plus 130. I was looking around for an underdog play, and this is one that caught my eye. I've talked Steele up a little bit, and I just can't take Lauer at all. The Brewers have been going a little bit better, but the bats still aren't. They haven't been scoring many runs. They're winning tonight, but they're winning 2-0 in the top of the ninth. So they're not putting up a load of runs, even though they've got the job done a little bit. So, yeah, I'm going to take...
They scored 19 the other night. That doesn't help you.
Oh, the odd blowouts don't count. I mean, we're talking about consistent run production, Moonaf, not fluky little blowouts, man. Yeah, that'll skew the figures. In fact, that makes me want to back the Cubs even more, Moonaf, just because you said it.
This is what I'm going to read off to you, okay? So against, just go back to the Blue Jays series, they scored 4, 5, 10. And against the Rays, they scored 5 each against the Rays. And then against the Pirates, they scored 7, 19. 4 and then 2 today. I mean, that's not too bad.
You take the 19 out, so there's one that's over 5. That's not...
No, there's plenty that's over 5.
There's a 10.
There's a 19.
And sorry, a 10 and a 7.
There's a 7.
We're not counting the 19.
There's a 5, a 5. I've told you that. A 10, a 5, and a 4.
There you go. They're all beatable.
Oh, God.
And Eric Lauer gives up 8. So they've got to score 10. So if they don't score 10 or 19, they can't win. That's what you're telling me.
So that's why I picked the...
Is that what we've just... So over 28.5 is what we're going for. The Brewers will beat the Cubs 19-10 tomorrow. There you go. You heard it here first. Next is... That was one of the worst arguments I've ever been involved in, Runa. 6-10 Eastern first pitch, the San Francisco Giants and the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's more lefties. It's... Lefty D on 4th of July. I've got two more for you. Yep. I've got Carlos Rodon for the Giants. And I've got Madison Bumgarner for Arizona. Arizona plus 140. A home dinner like that. San Francisco Giants are minus 165. I'm going to throw this back over to you, Moonaf. Giants at the D-backs.
Yeah, Carlos Rodon on the mound for the San Francisco Giants, 7-4 so far this season with a 2.62 ERA over his last 5 games. Absolutely a stellar for him. He's 3-0 with a 1.16 ERA, 31 innings pitched, only allowed 4 earned runs in that span. Looking at his road numbers here so far this season, he is 3-3 with a 3.06 ERA, so a little worse on the road here so far this season, but... he's going up against a Arizona Diamondbacks team that is not very good against left-handed pitching. And again, referencing WRC over the last 2 weeks here, the Arizona Diamondbacks, I believe, were... Let me double-check this. I thought they were number 28, but they're number 17 against left-handed... No, that's for the season. Let me go to... Yeah, sorry, I was correct. Number 28 over the last 2 weeks against left-handed pitching. And on the mound for the Arizona Diamondbacks, like you mentioned, Madison Bumgarner, Mad Bum. So far this season, 3-8 with a 3.63 ERA. He's 1-4 over his last 5 games with a 4.32 ERA. Against the Giants as a starter for the Diamondbacks, obviously, because it's his second team, he's 1-1 with a 3.94 ERA. I feel like the Giants are also struggling offensively, and they haven't been scoring very many runs against the White Sox pitching. I know White Sox have some decent pitching, but they just haven't been able to score runs, and I feel like this number was a little inflated at 8.5. I like the under in this game between Carlos Rodon and Madison Bumgarner here, Malcolm. I just feel like two left-handed pitchers. Rodon has been pitching very well. Madison Bumgarner at home has been really good as well. I didn't read off his numbers at home. He's 2-3 at home with a 2.98 ERA. So definitely doing better at home versus the road. So I'm leaning under 8.5 in this game, Malcolm.
Exactly the same, enough. Yeah, they're okay. Under 8.5. Sorry, mate. apologies. You might want to withdraw your bet on that one. Looks really, really straightforward. Actually, it wasn't very difficult to get to that conclusion. It just looks like an under, doesn't it? When you look at Mad Bum at home, you look at Rodon against anyone, especially the Diamondbacks seem to be regressing a little bit. The record's not that bad, actually. The Giants, Moonaf, are 24-34 as a favourite this season so far. So I certainly wouldn't want to be taking them at -165. So no side was the obvious play. And that led me to a total. So the total had to be under. So we'll take the under 8.5. So I will agree with Moonaf there, which I'm sure he is delighted by. Let's go and disappoint Jeff Fox and remember that the Mets game is at the top left of my screen. 6:40 Eastern, first pitch is the New York Mets at the Cincinnati Reds. And Taijuan Walker for the New York Mets. And Hunter Green, we like Hunter Green, goes for the Cincinnati Reds. Reds are +135, another home dog. The Mets are -155. Totally is set at 9.5. Walker is 6-2, 272 ERA. He's pitched 72 2/3, 52 strikeouts. Hunter Green, 3-9, 572 ERA, 74 innings, 93 punches. Walker is 3-1 over his last five with a 2.53 ERA. In his best effort of the season was his last time out against Houston, where he gave up no earned runs on four hits, pitched seven innings that night. Walker's been really, really good, and the Mets need a little bit of pitch, and the injuries are just starting to catch up with them. They need to get these players back. I think Scherzer's going to be back. He had his final rehab start.
Yeah.
I don't know how far away DeGrom is, but not as far away as he was. And the injuries, obviously McGill going down as well. I think the Mets need this little bit of help. They've just stumbled a little bit, and they've let the Atlanta Braves get to within a couple of games of them. And the Mets need a little bit of help just to press their advantage again. So Walker's been a shining light recently for them. Green's struggling again. Another one. He's been a bit of a roller coaster. We've tried to get on the right side of him a few times, but he's not made it easy. His last three games have been horrible. He's just really inconsistent. There's no pattern. No pattern at all. You try and find an angle in with Hunter Green, you're really going to struggle. You're a better man than me if you can. The Mets are scuffling a little bit. Cincinnati are also. I thought the 9.5 was too big. Neither side really has scored many runs recently. Just hoping Hunter Green doesn't completely blow. But I think Walker will go well. And I don't know how many runs Cincinnati are going to contribute. Even if they don't contribute many, then I don't think the Mets will get there. I think the Mets will win, but -155 is a bit too skinny. The under 9.5 was great. Maybe parlay them both under 9.5 and a Mets win if you want something a bit more exotic, Moonaf.
Yeah, Walker, I mean, you said the numbers. He's been a little better at home, but this is going to be a road start for him. He's 4-2 with 3.30 ERA. And again, it just all just kind of depends on Hunter Green. So if you really want to play a total on this game, I would probably look at Mets team total, because I just, like you said, like you can't figure out Hunter Green. And it's just been that he's 2-3 at home with a 5.87 ERA. The four out of the last five games that he started, they've seen at least a minimum of 9 runs in those games. We've seen a 9, a 9, 15, and then an 11 in his last start as far as total runs scored. So they're giving him up. They've given up at least 5 to the opposition in every single one of their games over the four of the last 5 games. So if I had to pick a total in this game, I'd probably look at Mets team total. With a 9.5, it's probably going to be a 5.5, but maybe I would look at a first 5 innings team total for the New York Mets, but it's going to be the Mets or no bet for me in this game.
Yeah, that looks about right. I'll picture the final score of these. It looked like kind of 6-2 to the Mets, that kind of game, which is why I thought the 9.5 was too big. They've actually managed to pick up a win tonight, the Reds, and a low-scoring one. So they broke that little streak. They managed to top the Atlanta Braves 4-3 tonight. So something similar tomorrow will do me absolutely fine. A 6:40 Eastern first pitch is the Seattle Mariners against the San Diego Padres. Now, earlier on, I had Chris Flexen pitching for the Seattle Mariners. That has now gone, Moonoff. I don't know if you can shed any light on that one. Have you got a Mariners pitcher?
Give me a second. I do see Chris Flexen still on one side. Let me check another. Give me a second here. Chris Mariners. And yeah, I'm still seeing Chris Flexen versus Sean Manaea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll handicap it as we go. Something is obviously a miss there. But yeah, Sean Manaea is going for the Padres. The lines are still up. So it doesn't look like that's changed, or the news hasn't filtered through to the books yet anyway. Seattle Mariners on the road are +140. The Padres are -165. Total here at 7.5. Flexen is 4-8 with a 4.32 ERA. Has pitched 83 1/3, 58 strikeouts. Manaea 3-3, 3.92 ERA, 85 innings pitched and 89 strikeouts. Chris Flexen, his last five, he's given up 3.32. He has walked 2-2-2-2-3. Every lineup, it's the same. Every box score you see, sorry, every line. Flexen, he's just incredibly middle of the road. And if Seattle score 4 runs in the game, they win. And if they don't, they get beat. So that's the key to this one. So will they score 4 runs tomorrow? What I've written down, Moonaf, they won't. Manaea's ERA is coming down, 3.72 in his last 5, which did include one relatively bad start at Chicago Cubs, which is possible for pitchers. I think the Padres need to get back on track. I think they'll be slightly disappointed with how this Dodgers series gone so far. Seattle aren't doing it for me at all. I might be just annoyed with them that they turned over last night in that game we've already talked about. I like the Padres on the money line, -165. It's a hair too short. I think the over 7.5 in play. Flexen's going to give up 2 or 3, as we've already stated. If the bullpen give up 1 or 2, score a couple of runs, we can get to it. It's going to be tight, though. 4-0 finish. Really tight, this one. I think the Padres will win, but I'll probably won't be betting the Moon off.
Yeah, Chris Flexen on the road so far this year. He's 1-5 with a 4.71 ERA, and he's kind of been up and down so far this season. Against the NL this season, he is 0-1. He had one start. I mean, it's not a big sample, but he did get blown up in that game against the who was it that he faced? It was the Philadelphia Phillies, where he gave up 6 earned runs in 5 innings. So, I mean, I just don't trust Chris Flexen on the road. I kind of do agree about the overplay in this game. Padres, I think that this might be a series where they can turn their offense around, and probably looking at playing their team total over in this game as well. So leaning with the Padres for the game as a side, and then team total over for the Padres as well.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players, of which I am one. I'm very happy about it. I assume you have your fantasy leagues on there. Like I say, I've got a handful of mine. But now you can make money on Sleeper by playing their new over or under game. It's dead easy to play. Choose your sport, choose your players, choose your props. For example, the number of points in basketball or the hits in baseball. Then choose the amount you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 to 20 times the money you put in. The chat box is really good fun. You can get in there with your buddies, play together. You can copy their picks and have a little bit of smack talk as well. So if you download the Sleeper app to play their new over or under game and use the code sleeper.com/SGPMLB, Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. So you can join our squad, get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGPMLB. T's and C's apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. On Thursday or Friday night, we gave out some player props for that we liked on Sleeper for the game. The little run of bad luck, you know, when you just get it in your head that whatever you do, it's going to come down on the wrong side. So I don't know if you remember, Moon, if I gave out the Atlanta Braves some home run props, total base props on the Atlanta Braves. And I think I gave out Travis Darno, I gave out Marcelo Ozuna, and I gave out Matt Olson. Three of the five in the three of the top five in the Braves lineup, and the other two were the top five, both hit home runs, Moon. And I was just sitting here shaking my head. I was like, is this some sort of wind up? I've given out three of five, and the other two both went in like the first three innings as well. That is the kind of weekend I'm having. If I say it's black, it's coming down white. Absolutely every little thing going on. So get across to Sleeper. I've got Marcelo Ozuna hit two home runs tonight. But yeah, so I've got the right players, just the wrong night. Get across to Sleeper and get your little over-under props in on there. 7:20 Eastern first pitch is the St. Louis Cardinals and the Atlanta Braves, which is Dakota Hudson for the Cards and Kyle Wright for the Atlanta Braves. The lines are -155 for Atlanta. The Cards are +135. Total is 8.5. Moon off. Decent looking game this one. St. Louis at Atlanta.
Yeah, pretty good matchup here. Dakota Hudson on the mound for the St. Louis Cardinals so far this season. He's been pretty good for them. His record overall for the season, 6-4 with a 3.83 ERA. Last five games, Malcolm, he's gotten in a little bit of trouble. 2-2 so far, the 5.40 ERA. On the road so far, 2-3 with a 4.57 ERA. So that just kind of tells you that he's been really good at home for the St. Louis Cardinals. But he is on the road here in Atlanta. Month of June was kind of, you know, it was probably his worst month as far as giving up runs. He had five starts where he gave up 18 earned runs. He had a 4.58 ERA against the opposition. And like you mentioned, again, on the mound for the Atlanta Braves, it's going to be Kyle Wright. Kyle Wright has been one of the bright spots so far for this Atlanta Braves lineup. Pitching rotation. 9-4 so far this year for the Atlanta Braves. 3.03 ERA. Last five starts, he's 4-1 with a 4.18 ERA. The ERA is a little higher than his last five games, but he's getting the victories for the Atlanta Braves at home so far this year. 6-2 with a 3.21 ERA. So I think this is going to be a fun series early in the week here to kick it off on Monday. I really couldn't come down to a side on this game. I think I want to trust Kyle Wright more at home here for the Atlanta Braves. I know the number is a little juicy at -155. But again, I talked about Dakota Hudson, who hasn't been very good on the road so far this year. And he's prone to giving up those runs on the road so far. And against the NL East teams, for whatever reason this year, Malcolm, he has a 6.52 ERA. He's given up 7 earned runs in about 9 2/3 innings pitch, and those two teams have been the New York Mets, where he gave up 4 earned runs, and then the other team, I believe, was the Miami Marlins, where he gave up 3 earned runs to them. So I think that may continue here against the Atlanta Braves, who are swinging a good bat right now. So give me the Atlanta Braves on the money line here.
Yeah, you're right. I think Kyle Wright's been brilliant, really good to watch. I think the Braves will win, but that -145's not much of a working man's price for me. I thought the over was in play here just because of the two lineups that you just mentioned, Atlanta, the five players that we just mentioned when we were talking about Sleeper. And then the Cards are doing Arenado and Goldie are being all over it. Nolan Gorman's chipping in. So I think the St. Louis can barrel a couple up and give themselves 3, 4, 5 runs, and the Braves can do the rest as well. So, yeah, I think Atlanta will win, but maybe a high score run, something like a 6-4, something along those lines. But I have been taking too many unders, so give me an over here at 8.5. 8:10 Eastern first pitch. We have three games left to handicap. The Minnesota Twins at the Chicago White Sox, which is Dylan Bundy and Johnny Cueto. The Lions are Minnesota -105. The Chicago White Sox at -115. Fairly close call, this one. Total set at 9.5. Back to you, Moonaf, for the Twins at the White Sox.
Yeah, not a great pitching matchup here, but I'll start with Dylan Bundy here. Malcolm, 4-4 on the season so far, a 4.71 ERA. Last five games, 1-2 with a 4.62 ERA. On the road so far this year for Dylan Bundy, they are on the road, correct? Yeah, they are on the road again in Chicago.
Yes.
2-3 with a 6.41 ERA on the road, and he's been pretty good at home. I think we talked about this last week, that Dylan Bundy, 2-1 at home with his 2.01 on ERA. That ERA inflates on the road. He's just not getting it done. And we talked about a lot of pitchers throughout the season who just are great at home and just not very good at home. And I think that, they're great at home and not very good on the road. And Dylan Bundy is a very prime example of that, where the ERA is almost three times more on the road, is what I'm trying to say. So he's given up 30 runs on the road where he's only pitched 39 innings, and I think that does make me nervous. Against AL teams, he has a 5.65 ERA. I know he's about 14 innings against National League teams here. Against the NL Central, he has been pretty good. He did face his White Sox team at home, where he did go five innings, shutout baseball, only allowed four earned runs. But again, I'm not sure I want to put my money on Dylan Bundy here on the road. Johnny Cueto, let me get to him, 2-4 with a 3.33 ERA. He's been consistently okay, is the way to put it, Malcolm. He's given up exactly three earned runs in four of the last five games for the Chicago White Sox. And I think that over his last five games as well, 2-2 with a 3.68 ERA. So it just kind of is fitting that the magic number for Johnny Cueto is three for him. At home this season is where he has gotten into a little bit of trouble, Malcolm. He's 0-3 with a 5.48 ERA for the Chicago White Sox. And I'm not sure I want to trust any one of these pitchers. I would probably take a look at the over in this game with these two guys. These offenses, again, are pretty good offenses, and they can put up runs, right? We see Minnesota Twins. I know we talked about it with the Consig that they were in more of an under team, but they've gotten guys back into their lineup. You know, Byron Buxton is there, Luis Urez, top of that lineup, Carlos Correa is back. Those guys are starting to hit the ball a little bit. So I'll lean with the over in this game. It is at even money at 9.5, and you understand why it's at 9.5 with these two pitchers. So give me the over in this game, Malcolm.
Yeah, I've written down the under, actually. But looking at that was before I saw the prices. And the White Sox are a good enough price for me to want to take them here on the money line at -115. So I'd initially leaning towards the under. I just think that Johnny Cueto's done enough for me to give him a chance. He was in auto fade, just name recognition when he first came into this White Sox rotation, and he's doing all right. The under really came from how the teams have been performing. I said that the Twins managed to walk the Orioles off twice this weekend. They've gone down tonight 3-1, where the White Sox have been cobbling together a little winning streak, not a very pretty one, but they beat the Giants 5-3. They beat the Giants 1-0. They have taken the lead tonight against the Giants. But low scoring, so the Twins keep going under. The White Sox keep going under. But I think the White Sox can get this done tomorrow at home. So fairly low scoring. But I think the White Sox can get another little win there. So either one, Chicago White Sox money line or the under. 9.5 for me behind me, giving a little bit of trust to Johnny Cueto. 9:07 Eastern first pitch is the Toronto Blue Jays and the Oakland Athletics. Alek Manoah goes for Toronto, and the Oakland pitcher is Cole Irvin. Lefty. Toronto are 2-1 on, minus 200 for the Blue Jays. Oakland are plus 170. Totally ever 7. Alec Manoa is 9-2 with a 2.09 ERA. He's pitched 94 and two thirds with 85 strikeouts. Cole Irvin is 2-6 is with a 3.58 ERA. Has pitched 75 and a third with 52 strikeouts. Manoa, obviously, we know was the stud that he has been. He's actually given up 8 earned runs in his last 3 starts, but they were against Boston, the Brewers and the Yankees. This is a little bit of a different proposition facing the Oakland A's. So you can expect Manoa to put in another decent start. Irvin's been okay. He's been consistent. Good for a couple of runs, 2, 3, or maybe 4 on a bad day, but he's been okay. The key to me here was the total set at 7. Now, the Blue Jays are struggling to cover the run line. They are 23-38 on the run line in their games this season. A low total tells you there's not going to be much between these two sides. So I'm going to take Oakland on the run line. Toronto might get this done, but give me that extra run and a half with the A's at minus 110. So a little bit of a different bet for me there, that one. Oakland on the run line, Mooner.
I'm on the other side, Malcolm. I'm taking... When I see Alec Manoa on the mound, I'm automatically betting the run line. And the numbers do speak for himself. And you talked about it. The ERA has actually been better on the road so far this year for Alec Manoa versus at home. I mean, 5-1 at home, 4-1 on the road. He has a 1.94 ERA. And looking at his road start so far this year, he beat the Brewers 9-4. He has beat the Kansas City Royals 7-0, 4-3, and then I think he took a loss against the Rays at 3-0. So he did face the Oakland A's earlier this year where he did go 6 innings and 2 earned runs, but I just can't trust this Oakland A's team. And I think there's some stat out there, and I should have this in front of me, about how they're not very good in game ones of series, are the Oakland A's. Maybe I can pull that up by the time we get to the end of the show here. But I'm going to go with Alec Manoa here on the run line, especially at a minus 110 price.
As we speak, Moon, after Toronto have loaded bases up in the bottom of the ninth against the Tampa Bay Rays, that's 7-3 down. But they have the tying run at the plate with Alejandro Kirk in 2 outs. So see if the Blue Jays can pull off something spectacular there. Right then, let's crack on. We have one game left, which is the 9:10 Eastern first pitch. It's the Colorado Rockies and the LA Dodgers. 2 more lefties. This has got to be a world record, I reckon. It's Kyle Freeland for the Colorado Rockies, and it is Julio Urias for the LA Dodgers, who are a minus 275 favourite. Getting Colorado plus 230 if you fancy that. Yeah, set at 8.5. How quickly do you want to pick the Dodgers on the run line here, Mooner?
I'm not sure. I'll let you handicap the game.
No, it's your job. Get on with it.
It's my job. All right. Okay. So Kyle Freeland he's 4. So I'll say, let me get to the handicap first. So Kyle Freeland, 4-5, 4.31 ERA against the NL West so far this year, 3-1, the 4.41 ERA. He did face the Dodgers back on last start was against the Dodgers, where he actually won that game 7-4. Did the Rockies. He went 6 innings in that game, gave up 6 hits, 3 earned runs. Did allow 2 home runs in that game, but against the Dodgers in his career, Malcolm, Kyle Freeland, 4-8 with a 4.42 ERA. But with Julio Urias on the mound here, we've talked about one team, the Chicago White Sox. This went back to last year, where he was really good against, the White Sox were really good against left-handed pitching. And this is the season where the Colorado Rockies have been really good against left-handed pitching. So far this season, or at least over the last 2 weeks, they are number 5 in the entire league in WRC plus against left-handed pitching. And I think on the season, They're either number one or number two, right up there again with the Reds. With the White Sox. So I do understand that it is Kyle Freeland on the man on the mound, and I know that the Dodgers did get Mookie Betts back here today in their lineup after he came back from a small sting on the injured list. I'm gonna take the Rockies here plus 1.5 on the run line here, Malcolm, just because it is a left-handed pitcher on the mound for the LA Dodgers.
Okay, I just think that's it's a home road thing. They might have been decent against the lefties recently, but I know they did well against the Dodgers in that home series last weekend. This is one of the boring Dodger run line for me. I watched the Dodgers last night and they were just smashing the daylights out of you, Darvish. They are 43-31 on the run line. They have the best record in MLB on the run line, that powerful lineup. I don't mind Kyle Freeland at all. He's come through for us in some decent spots. Yeah, but not tomorrow. Bit predictable and boring. But it was the Dodgers run line minus 120 for me. Our lock and dog. Momentarily, just trying to tell you about... what shall I tell you about? I'm going to tell you about Dave.
IP Vanish. Or Dave, yeah. Dave is our newest sponsor.
Dave's our newest sponsor?
Yeah, Dave.
Right then.
It's not a person, though. But
person?
It's not a person.
What confused me is we have a TV channel here called Dave, which I watch quite. It's quite good. It's got quite a lot of good comedy programs on. So I wasn't sure if it would be the same thing, but I very doubt it is. Dave, I'm going to tell you about what this is. At some point, we've all been in a situation where we've been a little tight on your cash. Maybe you've been on a bad run of picking MLB locks to put in the graphic. If you could only afford to put a few gallons in your tank, or you got another Save the Date card and you're wondering how you're going to afford a gift, which is where Dave can help you out. Dave can help get out of a pinch if you really need it. Hindsight is 2020, but if you could get a little help from your future self, maybe you're asked to borrow a little cash. Now you can with Dave. It's a banking app that can help get you up to $500 instantly with extra cash. You need that money to fill your tank, buy a wedding gift, catch up on your bills, things like that. You can tackle those expenses short term that have been stressing you out without any hang-ups. There's no interest, no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they need. So if you're in a pinch and need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as a helping hand from future you. Download Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. That's hard to say in my accent. Sign up for an extra cash account. Get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member of the FDIC. Okay, we've done it, Moonaf. I enjoyed that. That was fun handicapping. Now, this is the bit that I can't get right. Things need to change, Moonaf. If you demonstrate to me where how to announce a winning lock and dog pick, and then I'll do my best to see if I can learn and make a couple of my own.
All right. There's a couple plays that I do like here as far as locks. You know what? Since it's July 4th, I'm going to give out two locks and also dig up a a dog for you guys as well. First lock, I'm going to go with the Baltimore Orioles on the money line, minus 110 with Dean Kramer on the mound. You know, we talked about the numbers. He's been really good so far for the Baltimore Orioles. Just the numbers have been incredible, and we talked about how bad Dane Dunning has been on the road so far this year. The Texas Rangers have lost 8 straight games when Dane Dunning has started for the Texas Rangers. So I think that's something that's going to continue here for the Texas Rangers. So I'm going to take Baltimore Orioles at home here, minus 110 with Dean Kramer on the mound. For a second lock, I think we both agreed on this one, Malcolm, that this number was a little bit inflated. That's going to be the Giants and Diamondbacks under 8.5. Carlos Rodon has been absolutely phenomenal over his last 5 games, and Madison Bumgarner, with the struggles that he has had on the road so far this year for the Arizona Diamondbacks, he's been a lot better at home. So I think we might see a game here where it's probably a 4-1, 5-2 type of final for the Giants here. And again, we talked about how the Arizona Diamondbacks against left-handed pitching are ranked number 28 in WRC plus over the last 2 weeks. So I don't think they'll get going offensively here as well. So that'll be my second lock on the under 8.5 for this July 4th schedule. For my dog, let's see. There wasn't very many dogs that I did like. Let's go. Mets are.
It's not much at all. I think I've got one written down, which is when I'm going to be forced into picking it because it's the only one. But I know what you mean. There was a lot of tight stuff. It was more a lot of totals and run lines. Yeah. So it was hard to pick an outright dog or money line.
Yeah, I'll go with. I'll give it a dog, but it probably.
Come on, Muna, you can do it.
Let's go with the Milwaukee Brewers on the run line, -1.5, +125 against Justin Steele. I haven't liked what I've seen from Justin Steele. We talked about the Brewers out there. Offense has turned it around here a little bit, even though Malcolm doesn't agree with me. But I think that might be a spot where, you know, the Cubs might be feeling themselves a little bit after getting a series win against the Red Sox. So I think the Brewers back at home with a little bit of momentum here. I'm going to go with the Brewers run line, -1.5, +125.
Okay, right. Well, what we've eventually done here is of no help to the listeners, Moon. My lock, you've stolen it as your second lock. I'll be greedy. I've got the under 8.5 in the Giants and Arizona game for the reasons exactly you spelled out. It's got a 4-1 written all over it, hasn't it? I think the Giants will pick them off, but neither side will get much done in there. So that was my lock. And for my dog, give me Chicago Cubs and Justin Steele at +130 to take. Eric Lauer gives up a million. We've already said it's going to finish. It's going to finish 19-10 in favor of someone. So, give me the Chicago Cubs at +130. I don't think the home road thing. I think that's a product of coincidence rather than a reflection of how Steele will perform. And I'm going to get behind Justin Steele. Okay, right then. So, yeah, you can jump off Milwaukee. Let me have the Cubs at +130. And Moonaf has unearthed this gem, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go Padres, -1.5, +120. You know, we talked about Chris Flexen. He hasn't been very good on the road so far this year. And Mariners, are missing guys in their lineup with the suspensions and things that with the brawl that happened with the Angels. I don't think their bats are going to get going here, especially against the Padres at home and Sean Manoa on the mound. So I'll go Padres, -1.5, +120 as my dog. There you go.
Beautiful. Well done, mate. Thank you very much. And we've done it, Sunday night recording, done. Happy 4th of July to you, Moonaf, and all your... Are you doing anything fun? What's going on around Manji Towers?
Once we get done here, I think another hour or so, I'm going to head over to my brother-in-law's place. So they're doing a little barbecue and just hanging out. And then tomorrow, another family gathering in the evening time. So family time here around July 4th. Maybe get away from the mic a little bit and say hi to the family because maybe they haven't seen me in a while.
Fair enough. You enjoy your barbecue. I made a great chili today, Moonaf, actually, while we're on the subject. I had a hankering. So I went to the shop specifically and bought all the ingredients for a top-class chili. I even melted a bar of dark chocolate in there, Moonaf, which might not be to everybody's taste. Hmm. Yeah. It's got a really nice, thick, bitter edge to it, and it's... I've already had a couple of portions, so that's going to sit on the top of the stove and feed me.
Is that why you look like you're in a food coma right now?
Next to me bath, I had my early bath, mate. So this is my post-bath glow. Glow, we're going to use, that's the word.
There we go.
Yeah, there might be a hint of food coma. So enjoy, everybody, 4th of July. I hope you have a lovely time. In the meantime, here at the Sports Gambling Podcast, we will keep on grafting. And we're going to pick some winners this week. I am full of confidence. Moonaf has renewed my enthusiasm for the sport, as always. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We will see you down the road. Cheers.